Today on Real Radio.
Hey, Mom and Dad, is your child wayward from God and from family and from home? You know what? I know it hurts. Give them over to the Lord. God loves your kid more than you do. He made them. He's much more in tune with their rebellion than you are. He knows the very motive and the reason. Mom and Dad, we'll never know exactly, but we know the one who does know. Turn your kid over to God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament account of Jonah. Now, let's face it, we all know the story, but exactly how deep have you really looked into this account? Have you ever studied chapter 2, which is essentially the prayer of Jonah? It's such a turning point in this narrative that our teacher is leading us in a mini-series taken from the passage. It's called A Change in Course. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
We're in part 2 of a message entitled A Change in Course. God is working in Jonah's life bigger than what Jonah could ever imagine. He's moving. And so is Jonah. Ha! The fish, having swallowed him, is swimming him right back into the perfect will of God. A changing course. This is part 2, as I said, of our message, and we will read through our text context this morning and study, picking up where we left off last time. But its entirety, Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, and chapter 2. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All of your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even unto my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you in your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10 says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah under the dry land. What a great story. What a great event. Repentance is God's will for every human being to experience. We say, well, Pastor, are you sure the word repentance? I mean, isn't that an old word? Oh, yeah, it's an old word. It's in the Bible, makes it old. But it's in the Bible that makes it accurate and correct. The word means to change course, to alter the direction that you're on. In our last time together, we saw several points that God wants us to understand. And we see them, first of all, and of course, primarily through the life of Jonah himself. We saw last time that a change of course came about as a result of Jonah coming to the understanding of his rebellion against God. Jonah is in rebellion against God, meaning God has told Jonah to do one thing and Jonah's doing his own thing. Whenever we do our own thing, we are in rebellion against God. And we want to water that down. We want to say that we're not doing that. We want to somehow come to the place of believing that God is on our side. He's behind our program. When in reality, God has his way of doing things, and he's going to do his thing. And when we vary from God's will, when we weave or wave or err or turn away from that course of God, God has his way of getting our attention. And he's done in the life of Jonah. We saw last time, too, that God brought about a conviction. We learned that in verse 17, that brought about a verdict from God, meaning that God prepared the great fish. This fish is a tool being used by God. This fish is a type or a symbol of trials, difficulty in our life. And so Jonah's got a trial. It just happens to be a jumbo fish. Because God's got his plan. And by the way, it took a jumbo fish. And as we'll see, it took 3 days and three nights and all of the horrible circumstances in and around that fish to get Jonah to repent. Those of us who have kids, we would much rather have our children confess their little wrongs so that they can be on with the rest of their life. But when they hold out on us, we've got to instruct them. We've got to show them their error so they don't do it again. It's much less painful for parent and for child if that situation is remedied quickly. God wants Jonah to turn around. Jonah won't. To the point where we saw last time, Jonah says, throw me overboard. Let me die in the ocean. But God doesn't want Jonah to die in the ocean. You might be saying to God, God, I'm not going to obey you. I'm going to hold out. I'm not going to do it. Throw me overboard. And maybe your friends have thrown you overboard. Maybe your family's thrown you overboard. And God has prepared a great fish to swallow you, a great fish of trial, to bring about, listen, conviction. Oh no, maybe I've done the wrong thing. Which brings about a verdict, a great fish, which, by the way, God's righteousness brings about judgment. What's the judgment? The fish swallowed Jonah. That's a good thing. So how can it be a good thing? Because the fish swallowed Jonah, protecting Jonah from himself. People, oh man, when difficulties come into our life and we finally cry out to God, have you noticed how sweet we get? I mean, we're really at our sweetest. I'm not talking about before we give up. Before we give up, we're kind of antagonistic and ornery, and we're rebellious and we're kicking against God and everybody around us. But when something comes our way so big, so beyond us, that so wipes us out. Have you noticed how sweet we can become? We start thinking about the precious things of life. We get a little bit more gentle with our words. We get a little bit more compassionate. When we are hurting, we get tender. That is a good thing, but none of us want to hurt. But God looks at the long-term effect rather than the short-term discomfort. And our heart can turn tender. You know, with difficulties that come, as they came with Jonah, we could become better by what's going on, or bitter. We can shake our fist at God and say, how come? Or we can bow our knee before the Lord and say, God, your will be done. Depends on how we handle that. His righteousness brings about judgment. And not only that, but we saw last time that God's justice brings about a sentence. The sentence was this: in God's justice, that means Jonah had to be punished to get him to see, God brings about his sentence. And his sentence is, verse 17, Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights. Now mark that in your Bible, 3 days and three nights. Can you imagine being in that thing? Pretty gross, I would think. Okay, it's a great fish, but I bet you it's pretty tight inside there for a man. He's been swallowed. It stinks. There's probably pieces of other fish and junk in there. We know there's seaweed in there. He says so. And there's gastric juices. There's the pressure whenever that fish swims down deep, the pressure of the ocean against him. Everything's slimy, can't grab onto anything. It all feels like a big slime pit, claustrophobic galore. Incredible quarters, think about it. In fact, I bet you we could write some cool poems if we stop in the midst of our trial and think of Jonah's trial and begin to write some thoughts down about how my difficulty has swallowed me up, how I feel crushed, that there's no hope, that there's nobody listening to me. I've gone so far, nobody can save me. I don't know what Jonah's feeling, but it's got to be nasty. It's got to be weird. No doubt it's got to be trying. We saw our second point last time regarding the change of course in that Jonah was unable to escape from God. I love that truth about God. We can't escape from God. Did you know that? And that leads us to this understanding that God pursues us. We saw that last time. He is after us. Aren't you glad for that? Hey, mom and dad, is your child wayward from God and from family and from home? You know what? I know it hurts. Give them over to the Lord. God loves your kid more than you do. He made them. He's much more in tune with their rebellion than you are. He knows the very motive and the reason. Mom and dad, we'll never know exactly, but we know the one who does know. Turn your kid over to God. That's a good thing. And pray for them and invite God. God, intervene in my child's life. Who knows? What if? I don't know. If Jonah's mom might have been praying? We have no record. But I wonder, maybe somebody might have known Jonah, wondered why he was leaving the area of northern Galilee, heading some 60 miles south from the direction God told him to go. He heads down to Joppa. I wonder if somebody said, oh, Lord, speak to Jonah. Oh, boy. Is God speaking to Jonah? And one of the things that Jonah's learning is not only his rebellion against God, but that he cannot run. He cannot escape from God. When you try to run from God, you can't do it. You can't escape because God is pursuing. Not only is God pursuing, but he's pursuing us with a purpose. God's pursuing you and I. He's pursuing every believer. Listen, he's pursuing every unbeliever to bring about two key things. Number one is a change of heart. To change heart. Verse 2 of chapter 2 teaches us God wants a heart change to take place. It says in verse 2 that Jonah cried out unto the Lord because of his affliction. That's a good thing. And he says, he answered me out of the belly of Sheol. Some of your Bibles say out of the belly of hell. It was like hell to Jonah in there that you heard my voice. Not only a change of heart, but God wants to bring about a change of mind. We see that in the latter part of verse 3. For you cast me into the deep. Notice, God, you cast me into this place that I'm in, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. This is Jonah's prayer. This is his confession. Hear me out. All your billows and your waves passed over me. He's now giving up. People, this is a perfect confession of repentance. Jonah is saying, look, I took my own course. I made my own decision. I wound up getting swallowed by this huge fish. I'm in a very uncomfortable place. This stinks, literally, and in other ways, and I want out. Me being in control of my life has led me to destruction. I've made the wrong decisions. I need to get out of this. Man, I'm grateful to tell you this morning, if you don't know it, no matter what has gone on in your life, God will give you a brand new start. He starts life for us all over again if we'll cry out to him and turn to him. God had his perfect plan for Jonah. Jonah deviated from that course. What's God's will? To bring Jonah right back on what? A new course? No. A different course? No. The original course. Maybe you started out in life and things were going well, and then you thought you were big enough and old enough to make your own decisions. And you got so far from what was of God. Listen, God's going to bring you right back and put you on course. He's got a plan for your life that he wants to fulfill. Wouldn't it be awesome if every person within the hearing of this message decided, I will pursue that thing which God pursued me for? I'm going to find out if God wants to use me in this life, and I'm going to do that thing. Boy, I tell you, wouldn't it be tremendous if we pursued God's will for our lives rather than pull a Jonah? Because you know what? It's so easy for us to do a Jonah. Why do we do that? We run. This is so funny. It's so weird. It's too human. Well, brings us to our study this morning. Our third point is this. We find it in verses 4-7, and that is a change of course shows us that we're helpless to change ourselves. We can't change ourselves, people. We learn this by verses 4 and 5, that all we can do is look toward God. He says in verses 4 and 5, then I said, I have been, here's his prayer, his confession, I have been cast out of your sight. Now that's not true, but it feels true. You can't flee from God's sight. But how many times have we felt as though God was not with us? Yet, he says, and this is faith in Jonah, I will look again toward your holy temple. Verse 5, the waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me, weeds wrapped around my head. Jonah's no doubt quoting various psalms. If you read this and take the time to go look at other psalms, he's collectively putting together in his prayer about 3 different psalms. The book of Psalms that you have on your lap existed centuries before Jonah ever came along, and he was Jewish. He was Hebrew, so he would have known these psalms. One of King David's great psalms is in Psalm 42, and there David says in verse 7, deep calls on to deep, and the noise of your water spouts. All the waves and the billows have gone over me. Jonah prays that prayer. Interesting, huh? Look toward him. Jonah begins to look toward him, and his life begins to change. This is so important to me because, you know, sometimes it takes me. I know you're not like me in this regard. It takes me situations to where I have to get flat on my back before I look up to God. I can get so stubborn. And if you were to ask me, you're being stubborn against God, I would say, no, I'm not. And on the appearance of it, I'm not. But I could be so convinced that what I'm thinking or what I want is God's will. This is God's will for this house. I wonder, you know? And God's got his way of yanking that carpet right out from underneath me. I fall flat on my back and I look up. Oh, Lord, it's you. God does that in our lives. That happens with us. But that's a good thing because I'm helpless to change. There is no power in and of myself to whereby I can change myself and it is valuable to God. The only change that can happen in your life and in my life is when we cry out to God and we say, I can't do it. And God comes in and he begins to make the changes that are acceptable to him. Listen, everybody, he does the changing, not me, not you, not us. He does them. It's a changing that's done by the Holy Spirit, and he does that. We're to look toward him. Not only that, but we're to cast ourselves upon him, verse 6. We're helpless to change. Jonah could not change his situation, and it took the swallowing of Jonah in a great fish. We cast ourselves upon him. It says in verse 6, and he makes this statement, and boy, is it poetic, but a lot of truth to that. Listen, he says that he's been brought down to, he says, I went down. I have that bold in my scriptures here. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. That's beautiful wording. It means he's gone down to the depths of the seabed where mountains are born. That's pretty low. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. That's pretty hopeless. You ever feel like that? I don't know if any of us ever felt like that. We can learn a lot from this man who's been swallowed by a great fish. Yet, he says, you have brought me up out from the pit, O Lord my God. He cast himself upon the Lord. That's a great place. That's a great, great moment. And for many of us, listen, May I venture out to say for all of us who are believers in him, we would dare pray a prayer. Oh God, draw me closer. Use me more. Make my life count. I mean, don't raise your hand, but have you ever prayed that prayer? Make my life count, God. I don't want my life to be nothing for him and his kingdom. God, make my life count, my prayer. Make this church count. Wouldn't it be a drag if we're just another church? We don't need that. We can just go to some other church. What do we need to go through this for? God, we pray. And if it's okay if you're not praying it, because we're praying it behind the scenes for us. God, just don't create another church through us. If you want to do something radical that turns the world on its ear, use us. God, if you want to do something and maybe you can find us weak enough and hopeless enough and helpless enough that we cry out to you and it's at that moment you can use us, then do it to us. You say, Pastor, you don't pray that, really? We pray that. We pray that at our table. We pray that in our prayer meetings. We pray that in staff. We pray it at home. I think about 11 years ago, six of us, we get together in a home Bible study. We just pray. We don't know what we're doing. God, just do something. We don't want to just spend a Monday night doing nothing. God, we want to just do this unto you. Do something, God. And when you do it, and if you do it in such a way that none of us can get any credit for it. And do it in such a way that we, behind the scenes, know it's you doing the doing. That has been our prayer for years. Why? Why pray like that? Because we're helpless. And say, well, aren't you confessing weakness? Amen, brother. We're weak. The Apostle Paul tells us that when we're weak, in Christ we can be strong.
The Judeo-Christian faith has many attributes that are unique. One is that it requires the kind of self-denial where one must admit that he is completely helpless in the area of overcoming the sin problem. One of the principles demonstrated by pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. What we've heard today is part of a mini-series taken from Jonah chapter 2. Which is essentially the recorded desperate prayer of the runaway prophet. It's a presentation called A Change in Course, part of our teacher's series through the Old Testament narrative of Jonah, where we can learn some valuable lessons on the consequences of denying and resisting the will of our Almighty Maker. We'll continue in this study on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, this verse-by-verse journey through Jonah really applies to you, me, everyone. And so for your own personal review and study, we're making available to you this 11 CD set. Here's our offer for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. We'll be glad to send you this series. Remember, all that you contribute goes toward the various costs associated with bringing you Real Radio Monday through Friday here on the radio. And it's all tax deductible. So whether you call, click, or write, just be sure and mention the title, simply Jonah. In fact, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org and read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you'd like to give us a call, we now have a new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Again, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us and send your donation to Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just be sure and mention the title of the CD series, Jonah. And of course, any of this contact information that you may have missed can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.